You will join me in turning your copy of God's Word to Galatians chapter 6. Actually, we're going to begin in Galatians chapter 5. I put into practice what one of my professors in seminary advised us. He said, when you preach, he said, read a lot of scripture. Then if you fail in preaching, at least they will have heard something good. So we're going to read an extended portion of God's Word, hoping that I don't fail in preaching, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 5. And the reason for this is that Paul is writing a letter to his friends, the church in Galatia, that has defected from the gospel. It's one of the harshest letters because they whom he loved have believed some lies. That is, that you can start with faith and end with works. That is, that you kind of get in the kingdom by faith, but then you need to do the works of Moses to stay in the kingdom, or maybe even to enter the kingdom. And he has very harsh words for them. And then towards the end, in chapter 5, he lays out what our real condition is in Christ. And I want you to hear that as it sets up the command we're going to look at is verse 2 of chapter 6, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We're in a series, as I have opportunity to preach, on the one another commands in Scripture. There are some 60 commands in the New Testament about the things we're to do for one another. The dominant command of those 60 is the command that we love one another. And that really is the headline, that's the summary of all that we're to do. All the rest of them really give different aspects of how we love one another in the body of believers. And it's based upon Christ's work for us, and we'll look at that too, that Christ has loved us, therefore we should love one another and bear with one another and forgive one another and help one another. And in this case, bear one another's burdens. So let's begin our reading at verse 1 of chapter 5 and follow Paul's thought as he moves from his reasoning about what our condition is in Christ to what should be our attitude toward one another and our life in Christ. This is God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word for you. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obliged to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view, and the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. But if I, brothers, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the fence of the cross has been removed. I wish those who unsettle you would go all the way and emasculate themselves. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Excuse me. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. Thus far the reading of God's word. May he add his richest blessing to it. Let us pray together. Father, we ask that you would lift up Christ and his word by your Spirit. Would you pierce to the very joints and marrow of our being, revealing us hidden sin and self, the lies of Satan in the world, and work in us the righteousness of Christ. Change our hearts, change our minds to conform them to Christ. We pray in his name. Amen. John Bunyan, I think, was trying to picture this idea of burden bearing, the fact that we all have burdens, but especially he was picturing in Pilgrim's Progress the burden of our sin, the guilt, the shame, the consequences of our sin in this world and the next. And he pictures it as this giant load on Christian's back that's only relieved when he approaches the cross and he understands the truth of the gospel. And I think it's a wonderful illustration in many ways, but I would say Bunyan has not gone far enough. For you see, the burden that each of us has, every human being born in this world, is a burden that you couldn't even take one step under, spiritually speaking. For it's a load that none of us have any ability to carry. We could picture it, D. James Kennedy talked about adding up our sins and this huge number. We could, if we want to think about burden bearing, we could think each one maybe was a little stone. And you start having these little stones added to your load. It's, well, oh, all my sins that I commit every day. Let's just start with the first and greatest commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now, which of you have done that for 5 seconds at any time in your life? I've never loved the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I'm constantly sinning against him in the first commandment. How many of you really loved your neighbor as yourself? You're constantly breaking that command. We could go to commands about sexual purity, about our tongue, about our heart, and coveting and envy, and on and on and on. The pebbles are dropping, the load is increasing. But you see, something's wrong with my illustration. Each one of those sins is not a pebble. Each one of those sins is Jupiter. It's an unbearable load. Each sin deserves eternal death and condemnation. It's an unbearable load, and those are added up. And you cannot bear the load. You have no coin to pay the price. For if you were absolutely righteous from this point on in your life, you would only do what you're supposed to do, and you would not have any ability to pay for your past sins. And yet you're not even perfect now. I can say with great confidence, each one of you is still struggling with sin. From the oldest to the youngest, from the most sanctified to the newest convert, every Christian still struggles with sin in this world. You still have a burden you're bearing. And you're struggling maybe outwardly. Maybe it's a sin that only you and the Lord know about. Maybe it's a sin you don't even know about yet. The Lord hasn't revealed it fully to you. But you do have sin in your life that only Christ can cover. Only He can carry. You know, we sing that. I was talking to our organist. He said, we'll be singing it tonight in the hymn, How Great Thou Art. And when I think that God, His Son not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin. Now that's a hymnist's rendition of the truth we find in Isaiah 53. That He was bruised for our iniquities. He was wounded for our transgressions. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. He bore your burden. He is bearing your burden. He will bear your burden forever. All those things that you could never pay for, that you could never stand up under, He has paid the price. He has borne the awful load. I want to remind you, folks, it was not Roman nails that held Jesus on the cross. All the armies in all the world of all time with all their armament could not have held Jesus on that cross. The Sanhedrin and their guard could not have held Him on the cross. The only thing that held Jesus on that cross was His love for His people. He willingly stayed there. That's the only way He would be there. The Scripture tells us that He endured the cross, despising the shame for the joy set before Him. You are that joy. That He would see you changed and you renewed and you in heaven with Him. Remember His heart on the night in which He was betrayed. Father, I want those that You've given me to be with me and to see my glory. That where I am, there You may be also, He says to the disciples. He wants us home in heaven with Him. That's why He died for you. That you would make it safely home to heaven. And I have good news for you, folks. Everyone for whom He died will safely make it home to heaven. Everyone, not one will be lost. But it doesn't mean that along the way we don't have sufferings and trials and burdens to bear. And sometimes these burdens, Paul is concentrating on the sin burden and the consequences of sin in our life. But there are other burdens in our lives that we can broaden this command. Some of us have physical needs. Some have financial needs. Some have relational needs. Some are lonely. Some are downcast and depressed. Some have made poor decisions with their finances. Some have said words they shouldn't have said and broken faith with others, and on and on and on. And there are burdens in this world. This is a burden-filled world, even for the redeemed. And Christ cares about that. You see, He didn't save you individually to stay an individual. He saved you into the body of believers, that you might care for one another and love one another. And He likens us to, He tells Paul to give us, to use the example of a body. Now, most of you don't like to think about your kidneys too much, or your liver, or your pancreas, or there's other little organs in there that you don't like to think about, but you sure do like for them to work, don't you? Because when they stop working, you know it pretty quickly. And you want some doctor or nurse to help you figure out what's going wrong with your body. Even if you just prick your thumb and it hurts, then you start noticing how many times a day you touch your thumb to something because it hurts. Well, the body of Christ is like that. When one member is hurting, it affects the whole body. But we're not just islands and individuals. It's one of the problems with our current society and culture. We've become withdrawn into our homes and into ourselves, and we don't interact with others. Many come to church, even if they're faithful, and then they go about and they have no contact with other Christians, especially in the community of believers. So how can they know when somebody's burdened or needs help? That's why one of the reasons why we're told to not forsake the assembling of ourselves. And that we need to foster fellowship. And it is harder in churches like this where we have people scattered 50 or 60 miles in every direction from this church. It takes work. It takes effort to know the burdens that others are bearing. Let me put in a plug for these fellowship dinners. Today's the last day to sign up. Let me encourage you to sign up for those dinners. They may be even a little uncomfortable for you at first, because we're actually going to purposely put you with people we don't think you know. People may be a little bit different from you, so that you can learn more about your fellow believers in this covenant community. I know it's inconvenient for some. All of us have busy lives. We're starting back to school. A lot of you are involved one way or another with schooling, and all that's ramping up now, and life is always busy. But how can you obey this command, the commands to love one another, and all the fruit of that, unless we actually get involved in each other's lives? And it takes a conscious, deliberate decision to do that. So Paul is laying out in chapter 5 what should be flowing out of Christians. And evidently, because of high-mindedness and false doctrine, there were people in Galatia that felt that they had arrived spiritually, and they were the spiritual elite, and they, because they kept certain aspects of the law of Moses, especially identified here as circumcision. And Paul points out that they have really misunderstood the gospel completely if they think that keeping some rule, even if it came through Moses, that makes you a Christian and makes you elite and makes you above others. And that's the attitude we see he talks about in verses 3 and 4, when you think you're something when you're really nothing. And what he's pointing out here is that the real fruit of the Spirit is that list of things he gives us in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Things that are pleasant, that are Christ-like, that unite us and don't separate us. He said, quit biting and devouring one another. Quit criticizing and judging one another. And instead, put your shoulder to a fellow believer's load. That shows you've understood what Christianity is all about. Let's go back. Let's rewind. What did Christ do for you? He was sitting enthroned in heaven. He had no need of you or me or any of us. He was in a perfect place, surrounded by angels, glorifying him day and night. And what did he do for you and me, who are little worms that he doesn't need? He took off his robes of glory and robed himself in our flesh, coming as a baby to a poor couple in an out-of-the-way, obscure place to serve you and me, because he would bear your load. He would put his shoulder underneath the load that you could not move one inch, and he would lift it off your back forever. And he says, I want you to be like me, at least a little bit in this world. I want you to be a Christian, a little Christ, and put your shoulder under somebody else's load, because you love me and you love them. And that's how the community of Christ is built. Not by high-mindedness, not by people that think they've arrived, but by people who are like Christ, serving one another. This does not speak against knowing doctrine and obeying Christ, but it speaks of an attitude of the heart of how we love one another. And this was much on the Savior's mind. As I said, some 20 times he refers in the Scriptures, in the New Testament, to that. Let me just read you a few of those. John 13:34. Now, I remind you of the context of this again. It's an upper room, a few hours before he's going to die for our sins. And what's on his heart? His people. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. A little later in that same discourse, he says this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. And he repeats it in 15:17. And it's repeated throughout the New Testament. Every book in the New Testament, either explicitly or implicitly, refers to our responsibility, the command of Christ, the law of Christ, that we love one another. Now, Paul is just putting this in Galatians as a juxtaposition, as a counter to what the people, some leaders in Galatia were saying, they're saying, you need the law of Moses. Paul says, no. The law of Moses did its purpose, but what you need is the law of Christ. You need to understand what he did for you. The law of Moses was good and right in itself, but it could never help you with your burden. In fact, all it did was magnify your burden. It was a lens, a window into how great your burden is. If you didn't know how great your burden was, read the law of Moses and see what a great sinner you are. But the law of Moses cannot do one thing to help you lift that burden off your back. Only Christ can do that. And the law of Christ is that as he's lifted our burden, we're to lift one another's burden. This is especially seen when we see others sin and have to bear the consequences of their sin. We're in a community of believers, and folks, every one of you, as we noted, is a sinner. Some of those sins come to the surface, and we see them, and we see problems because of them. And how are we to react when that happens? Do we act surprised and disgusted with one another? Well, how could they be in the body of believers? What a terrible sinner they are. How do you conveniently forget all the sins that you're still committing? And instead of having that attitude, he says, as the command in verse 1 says, you who are spiritual, let me tell you who the spiritual ones are. It's every one of you who's a Christian. The spiritual ones are not some higher plane. You don't start out and you're semi-spiritual or half-spiritual or quarter-spiritual and fully spiritual. Everyone who belongs to Christ has the Spirit of Christ in them. Scripture says, if you have not the Spirit, you're none of his. But if you have him, if you have the Son, then you have his Spirit. And that Spirit is given to you that you might serve others. And so the ones who are spiritual, as anybody, it may be an old mature Christian, it may be a young teenager or even a child, every age, every station has the ability to bear the burdens of others in need. I was teaching the little children in the little few minutes we have before the service, before Sunday school, and I asked them what they could do for someone who was hurting. And one said, you can sit with them and you can tell them that it'll be all right, and that you love them, and you can try to help them. That's pretty good for a second or third grader, isn't it? Well, we adults need to remember that too. Sometimes you don't have to have all the answers in the world. Sometimes you need to be like Job's friends. When they started out, they sat with him. We can love one another. A card, a letter, a phone call, a visit, willingness to take your time to help in some way. Praying for them, really praying, not just saying, I'll pray for you, but actually really praying for someone consistently, praying with them. Go and pray with them. Notice the attitude we're to have, a humble, gentle spirit. You should restore him in a spirit of gentleness, remembering that we too are sinners. And then the rest of the verse says, keep watch on yourself lest you too be tempted. Temptation is all around us and we're all easily drawn aside. It's just not this other one we see. You too can be tempted. And I would say this, the other thing is you have to be willing to receive the help when you have a burden. Many of us are proud Christians and we want to do it ourselves. We have that good old American spirit. But you know, sometimes God makes you weak so others can be strong, to bind your hearts together. And sometimes he puts even some of the strongest Christians on their back. And they who were helping others just a few weeks or a few months ago now have to be helped. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's the way of the body of Christ, that we bear one another's burdens. And it changes. There are seasons of life. And you may go through a season where you have great burdens and you need great help. I've been through those seasons here and have received great help from other Christians in every way imaginable. There are times that the Lord then calls on us to serve others in their season of need. And thus he binds our hearts together. That's what in verses 3 and 4 he's talking about, that you should test your life against Christ. How is the fruit of the Spirit? What does it look like in your life? Are you bearing fruit, especially in this area, in the relational area in the church? This is important to Christ. If you are his and you have his Spirit, this should be important to you. It's not just the deacons and the elders and a few other leading the church that do this. This is for all Christians. It's important while we're here and worship together and find other occasions to fellowship with one another, that we might know each other better and be more willing to share our burdens. There is something that might be confusing, because he says on one hand to bear one another's burdens, and then in verse 5 he says, for each will have to bear his own load. And some of your translations may even use the same word there, his own burden. That can be confusing. It is helpful in the Greek. There are actually two different words. The word in verse 2 is this unbearable load, a baros. The word in verse 5 is of a backpack, a military pack. It's heavy, but it's bearable. All of us have a load. God has given us an assignment in this world and a load to carry, as it were, responsibilities and opportunities. But sometimes through sin, or through ignorance, foolishness, that backpack can turn into an unbearable load. And that's when you need somebody else to put their shoulder under your load to help you. This is designed to make us one. Our weaknesses, our needs are not given to us to destroy us or to dismay us individually or even corporately, but to unite us. And let each of you use the gifts that you have. Every one of us has gifts to use in the body. Every age, every station, from new Christian to old saint, male and female, young and old, how much money or how little money, how busy or how tired you are, all of you have a gift to give back to Christ by serving one another. Sometimes that's just praying. Some people, and I say just praying, that's what it looks like to the world, just praying. Those are some of the most important people in the church. They can't actually even get out of their house, but they're praying. I go to some of our shut-ins, and they tell me, I'm praying for this, this, this. And they start going down the list. And it's not just the intercessor list. There are 10, 20, 30, 40 things beyond what's on the intercessor, things they're praying for in the congregation, because they can't do other things, but they can do one of the most important things. They can pray. And some can go, and some have words of wisdom, and some have a kind heart and a patient spirit. All these things can be given in the service of Christ to one another, that we might be built up, not biting, devouring one another, not looking for an opportunity to look down at someone else, but rather look, when those opportunities come, seeing it rather than an opportunity to criticize and to feel elite, to see, Christ has equipped me to help this person, and I'll come alongside them. And then when I need some help one of these days, someone will come alongside me. Let us do this, that Christ might be honored. Remember what he said, that by this, by the way you treat one another, all men will know you're my disciples. If you are a little Christ, if you're doing what pleases him, what's on his heart and mind, then it's evident to the world that you're not the same as them. There's something different about y'all. And not just this church, the broader church of Christ is why we should treat one another. Other Christians you meet in your workplace, in your extended family, on your baseball or football team or other clubs, your neighbors, wherever you are, especially Christians, all neighbors, but especially Christians, we can help them. when they need help. This is the law of Christ. For he helped us, and he wants us to help one another, to bear one another's burdens. Let us do this to honor our King. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you saw our great need, that you shouldered our load through the person of your Son. And we thank you that you've given us of his Spirit that we might do the same for others. Would you encourage us in this, that we would honor him who loved us and died for us and rose again and ascended into heaven, the one who's coming again, King and judge and priest and prophet, even our Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.